This is going to be a very different stream tonight. For those of you looking for an AEW Dynamite review, and my thoughts on tonight's show, the main event, big AEW championship match, I will get to that later. I promise I will have a full recap of tonight's AEW show. But there was a much bigger story that took place today. I am the Solemn Monster, and this is Black Wednesday, April 15, 2020, a day that is going to go down. I think much, you know, in many ways, like the death of WCW, although, you know, obviously that was a very different story. That was a whole other promotion that went under. But I think about all the people who lost their jobs, you know, who didn't get signed by WWE. This will go down as one of the darkest days in WWE history. You know, for the sheer number of people, talented people, who lost their jobs today through no fault of their own. It was nothing that they did wrong. You know, some people were being used, some people were not being used, some people were being underutilized. Some of them still have jobs, technically, they just won't be paid for a while. But there's a lot of people who are now unemployed at a time when there is not exactly a lot of hiring going on. There is a lot of uncertainty out there right now, and that is really the big story. Now, before I get into all that, let me just say that the Dynamite and the NXT polls are open right now on Twitter, at Solemonster. For those who did watch either show, you would like to vote. I will flash those results a little bit later on. And Super Chats are open. For those who wish to donate or submit a question, I will read them all. Maybe not right away, but I will get to those as well. So you may see those on your screen as the night goes on. This will not go down as Vince McMahon's finest week, despite his new label as The Great Vince McMahon. That was the name that was given to him just yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before. The Great Vince McMahon. The Great Vince McMahon, in the last week or so, less than a week, made the decision to put people in harm's way by having them travel back and forth to go live every week. We had this nonsense of WWE being classified in the state of Florida as an essential business. Yeah. WWE is an essential business the way that this podcast is an essential business. We had the Dark Side of the Ring episode last night, dredging up his very shady role in the Jimmy Snuka story from almost 40 years ago, to the news that broke today about the bloodbath in his own company. Tons of talent and staff cuts, furloughs, firings, all done a week before his company's next earnings call. It's coming up next week on April 23rd. Interestingly, they're doing it after the market closes, whereas normally they would do it in the morning around 11 a.m. Next week, they're doing it at the close of the market. And it's a move that's probably going to help their company's stock price and alleviate some concerns that the shareholders may have. That's the way business works. And look, we are in the middle of an unprecedented situation that we have never seen before in our lifetimes. But that does not make what happened today any less shitty. And I know there are a lot of people in this country who are in the chat room right now. And shout out to the chat. We got a ton of people filtering on in. So come on in. We got a lot to talk about here. But we got a lot of people even in the chat right now who are going through the same thing. Losing. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're a little worried that you're teetering on the brink. You know, you're a little worried if you're going to have a job next week, next month. These are very scary times. Word came down earlier today that Vince McMahon had called a noon conference call with WWE employees to make an important announcement. The call was said to have lasted less than 5 minutes, and the announcement was as follows. There would be cutbacks and furloughs for WWE staff and the company overall. The company would be cutting back on pay for board members, cutting back on pay for executives. Look, I don't know that this is a fact. It's entirely possible that Vince McMahon himself may have cut his own pay. Again, I don't know that, but I would not be surprised to come to find out that Vince and others may be in his own family, Triple H, who knows? try to set an example. Maybe they took a pay cut too. Plans to move WWE headquarters out of Titan Tower. Remember, they were going to be building this or moving into this new office space. That move in Stamford is now on hold for at least 6 months. And they also announced that they would be cutting the talent roster and overall headcount of all employees. Some would be going on furlough. Others would be let go from their responsibilities. And employees would be receiving text messages about where they stand with the company going forward. I like the JTG strategy of just turn your phone off. That way they can't reach you. Although I guess if they're texting you, you can't really claim that you didn't get the message. Immediately after that, WWE issued a press release for Wall Street, which announced much of the same thing, but also indicated that this reduction in employee compensation and headcount will result in an estimated monthly savings of $4 million. And additionally, the company has substantial financial resources, both available cash and debt capacity, totaling $500 million to manage their challenges ahead. Said management continues to believe the fundamentals of the company's business remain strong, and the WWE is well positioned to take full advantage of the changing media landscape and increasing value of live sports rights over the long term. Yeah, I wonder about that. I wonder about that idea of increasing value of live sports rights. You gotta think ESPN, ABC, Fox, all of these different entities. If anything, I would think they'd be looking to cut. I don't know that we're going to see the days of multi-billion dollar sports deals on TV. Those days may be done the longer this goes on for. Now, I want to make a note here, because I saw a lot of comments early on before we went live here. Oh, Solomonster, he's going to tear one. Yeah, he's going to tear WWE a new one and all this different stuff. And I've read everything there is to read all day with all the cuts. I went back, you know, I took a look at the press release they put out. I went back, I looked at the fourth quarter financials. I wanted to get as full of a picture as I can get. And hopefully I'll have an even fuller picture when I record episode 648 this Sunday on the main show. I'll have more to say about this. Frankly, I don't think we're done yet. So I think there may be more cuts. There may be more news in the days ahead. But, you know, I want to be fair when I talk about this, because the reality is there are a lot of companies in this country right now that are doing the exact same thing that WWE did today. Now, the circumstances may be different. The industry they're in may be different. The size of the company may be different. I don't want to make it sound like WWE is the only company laying people off, because they're not. You know people who have been laid off. I know people who have been laid off. It could be one of us. It's happening all over the country. So I want to say that first. And I want to point something else out here, because I see people talking about this, and this is misinformation. And I think it has to be corrected. In that press release, WWE makes a mention of $500 million, okay, $500 million. That is not $500 million in cash that they just have laying around. They had $90 million in liquid cash at the end of last year. So just a few months ago, $90 million in cash. And according to Jake Barnett of ProWrestling.net, they also had $350 million in ongoing liabilities when it comes to leasing buildings and equipment and outstanding income they're still waiting on from places like Saudi Arabia. They still haven't been paid in full. So just to be fair, I think it is misleading to suggest that WWE just has $500 million in cash sitting in an account. Like, you and I have a checking account. We just have $500 million that happens to be sitting in there. That is not the case. But they are fairly cash rich at the moment. Okay, but, and you're going to hear people say this. When you have a publicly traded company like WWE is, WWE is a publicly traded company. You're going to hear this. You have a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders. You are expected to put the welfare and the best interests of the company above all else, above the individual interests of anyone. That is how companies operate, for good, bad, or indifferent. That is how companies operate. But it should be noted that all of the cost cutting, all of this cost cutting that we saw them doing today, and they may not be done yet, okay, all of the cost cutting, it seems to have less to do with keeping the company profitable. Oh, they're super profitable. That's not the issue. The company is super profitable. Has less to do with that, has more to do with meeting their projections. Before all of this stuff happened in the last couple of months, they had certain projections that they had put out there. That's really what this is all about. They're trying to live up to these projections that they had made previously so the stock price doesn't drop any more than it already has. I mean, for God's sakes, this company is more profitable now than at any point in its history. Of all the years that WWE has been in business, they have never been more profitable than they are right now at this moment. So, you know, we can be fair about this, but we also have to point out the fact that this company has never been doing better financially than they are at this exact moment. Now, it's worth looking at how we got here. How did we get to a point with what I believe may be the single highest number of WWE releases in a single day? And in the chat, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. We've had some, you know, Black Fridays and days like this before, with a lot of talent that have been released. I don't know that we've ever had a day. This either sets the record or ties the record, I think, for the most number of releases in a single day. And they're probably not even done yet. So think about that. They probably are not even done yet. We know they used to have their annual post-WrestleMania cuts, their spring cleaning period. They haven't done that in a while. Very rare these days to hear about WWE releasing people, firing people, unless there's a reason to do so. If somebody sneezes on Vince McMahon, then they're going to be fired. Otherwise, you don't really hear about that a lot these days. Right? You really don't. This is different. Now they are getting rid of people at a time when a lot of other companies, they're not even in operation. They're certainly not going to be hiring. Who do you know outside of grocery stores or Walmart or Amazon or someplace like that? Honestly, that may be hiring right now. The independent scene is basically dead for the time being. And then you have companies like the NWA. They're really not operating. Ring of Honor. You know, I mean, who really is operating at full capacity right now? It's going to be very tough for a lot of these people to find employment. But ask yourself this question. Why were there so many names that we heard about today? Why so many names? That's the question. This is the product of WWE hoarding as much talent as humanly possible because they did not want them to go sign somewhere else. So what did they do? They signed everybody under the sun. Even people that they had no intention of using, they signed them anyway. Sign everybody they can. The longer the deal, the better. Signing people to big fat contracts just to keep them away from other people. And now, at the first sign of real trouble, we see the consequences of that. We have a day like we had today. At the worst possible time, these people now find themselves on the unemployment line. They lost millions of dollars on WrestleMania this year. I've seen the figure as high as $25 million. That they lost on WrestleMania, not being able to run a stadium show, having to refund everybody's money. By the way, that's already begun. In case you're one of the people waiting on your WrestleMania refund, they have started to process those refunds. So you might want to check your account or check your credit card. They're going to lose money the longer this drags on for without any ticket sales, no live audiences. WrestleMania next year is in jeopardy too. I don't know how many of you saw this. The mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, he was on a conference call on Monday. He suggested that large gatherings like concerts and sporting events, they may not be approved in the city again for at least 1 year. At least 1 year. If that pans out, guess what? WrestleMania may be back at the PC again in 2021. And then their Saudi Arabia deal. If they can't run another show, because they're due to do one more show this year, if they can't run another show until next year, and you know full well they're going to try to run later this year no matter what. If they have to burrow a tunnel, if they have to burrow a tunnel and escape under the ocean to get to Saudi Arabia, they're going to do whatever they can do in their power to make that second show possible, even if they have to do it in December. Okay, normally they would do it in October, maybe November. So they're going to try everything they can to get that show in. But if they can't, I mean, they're supposedly getting something like $50 million per show. $2 million of which they can pay Goldberg to wrestle for 3 minutes. But if they don't run that second Saudi show, that could be $50 million they rely on that isn't there. But hey, you know, now they get to save $4 million a month. Even though their fundamentals remain strong. And they've got money in the bank. No pun intended. Now, some people were saying, well, what about AEW? Oh, absolutely. I expect AEW is going to have to make similar hard choices of their own very soon. Not to this degree, because their roster is not as large as WWE's is, or was. I mean, as of December, WWE had 300 talents under contract. AEW does not have 300 talents. They have a lot of talent, they don't have 300. But I would be very surprised if AEW also does not have to lay off some people, which is why all of this talk about AEW is going to pick up a lot of these guys and these girls, it's very premature. It is very premature to be assuming that AEW is just going to pick all of these people up. They're going to find a home. Tony Khan is going to sign them all to contracts. A few of them, yeah, I do expect a few of them to end up in AEW, but who's to say that AEW is even going to be able to sign these people? They're on a budget. They're in the same boat. They're running empty buildings. They're not making any ticket sales. They're not selling any merch. Not the way they were. Live ticket sales and merchandise, those are the two areas that are going to be devastated the longer this drags on for. There is no guarantee that a lot of these people are going to have AEW deals waiting for them on the other side of this, or that AEW is even going to want all of them. You know, at some point, there has to be a limit to how much WWE talent they take in. What are they, like an orphanage? They're going to take all the castaways from WWE? That's not how this works. But this mass bloodletting is it's just so sad to see. You know, to watch that Drake Maverick video, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen it by now. If not, you can go on Drake Maverick's Twitter, Rockstar Spud. He posted a video after learning that he was fired. You know, it was just him and a camera. And he sat there, and you just look at this poor guy. His eyes are all red. He clearly was crying. He's crying in the video. Talking about how he's not able to say goodbye to all of his friends. You know, not knowing what he's going to do next to support his family. It breaks your heart to see something like that. Here was the quintessential company guy. Great story. Got signed by WWE. Small guy. But was willing to do whatever was asked of him. Supposedly, he himself is the one who came up with a lot of the ideas that he was doing during the whole 24/7 stuff, you know, before it ran its course. Made him the general manager. He's one of these guys. He's kind of like a chameleon. He can play a lot of different roles. You watch a video like that, and how does it not break your heart to see something like that? Now, the last time WWE slashed a good chunk of its workforce, I don't think there were any talent cuts. I believe it was all office cuts. It was 6 years ago when they slashed 7% of their workforce, almost 60 employees, and they eliminated their entire magazine department. The WWE magazine went bye-bye. And the stock, much as I expect it, I mean, we'll see tomorrow, but I would think the stock is going to react favorably. It did then. Now, one question I'm getting is this tied to the XFL going bankrupt? I don't believe it is, but I can't say for sure. I'm not aware of the XFL owing any money to WWE. I know it came out that WWE had a stake in the league, I think 23% of Class B shares. But to say that the XFL bankruptcy is a factor in all of the releases that we saw today, I don't believe that to be the case. You know, there's no evidence right now to prove that one had anything to do with the other. If there is, Vince McMahon is in a lot of trouble because he himself stated publicly that both entities would be kept entirely separate. One would not have any impact on the other. And if that turns out that that wasn't true, he may be in some hot water. Now, is it possible he told you and I something and told the stockholders something entirely different? It's possible. It's possible he lied to us and didn't lie to them. But I would think if it turns out that there was a connection between the two, he's going to be in a lot of trouble, and he's going to have to answer for that. Now, here are the 9 producers that the company furloughed, meaning they're no longer being paid, but they could, keyword could, be brought back. Lance Storm. Lance Storm, he only started working as a producer in the company 4 months ago. And he shut down his school. You know, for years he was running the Storm Wrestling Academy. There were a lot of Storm Wrestling Academy graduates coming out of that school who are currently working or have worked for WWE. Now, I don't know if he was planning on shutting the school down anyway, but he shut the school down. He took a job with WWE. 4 months later, he's out of a job. That sucks. That really sucks. Billy Kidman. Billy Kidman was there 13 years. He came over after WCW died. He wrestled for a little bit. He left. He came back. Pretty much worked behind the scenes since then. He was cut. Fit Finley. You can't have one female talent because he worked a lot with the women. But you will not find any talent in WWE to say one crossword about Fit Finley. It's always praise and respect and admiration. He got fired once before for something very stupid, and then they rehired him the following year. So he's been there for many, many years. Mike Rotunda, IRS, the father of the Fiend. They fired IRS on tax day. I can't believe it. I mean, I know they extended tax day this year to July 15th, but still, they fired IRS on tax day. In fact, he was just on The Bump. They have that YouTube show, The Bump. He was on The Bump this morning in celebration of, you know, tax day as a guest. And then a few hours later, he finds out that he's been furloughed. Sean Devari, gone. Pat Buck, gone. Shane Helms. Hurricane Helms, gone. Scott Armstrong, gone. Sarah Stock, gone. All of them either furloughed or fired. Now, I say fired because Lance Storm's, he posted a tweet. And his tweet indicated that he lost his job. Now, that could be taken either way, I guess. So, I'm not 100% sure that they were all furloughed. It's possible some of them are gone for good. You know, we don't know. Then we get into the talent cuts. And it's a long list. It's a long list. Let me just play catch up here, because we got a lot of people in the chat. We have a lot of people who have been sending in super chats, and I appreciate it. I'll catch up with all you guys after. But let's get into these talent cuts here. Kurt Angle. This was the name that shocked me. I honestly had forgotten that he still was working with WWE. After he retired a number of months later, he did start working as a producer on the Raw brand. So my understanding is he would have been there every week, working with the younger talent and working on specific segments. Kurt Angle, the man who was retired by, as if it wasn't demoralizing enough that Kurt Angle had to have his career ended by Baron Corbin at last year's WrestleMania, which you have to know was not his first choice. But like a good soldier, he went along. Vince McMahon asked him to do it. He said, sure. Baron Corbin retired him at WrestleMania. He starts working as a producer, and now Kurt Angle is fired. Then we have Rusev. Now, Rusev is an interesting one. First, let me just mention this. A few weeks ago, Rusev on his Twitter, I don't know how many of you saw this, but Rusev went on his Twitter and he pledged $20,000 of his own money to help any members of what he called his extended WWE family sitting at home with no income. And that covered production people, you know, security, all the people in his view that really helped the WWE machine run each and every week. Pledged $20,000 of his own money to help those people. Now he joins the ranks himself. I'm not convinced that this is not something Rusev himself didn't want. Maybe not right now. Again, this is not the ideal time to lose your job. But we haven't seen Rusev on TV in a while. And we've heard reports that Rusev has been on the outs with WWE. There's been some disagreements. I don't know if it's financial disagreements, creative disagreements. These people just, you know, you talk about wasted potential. Here's a guy in Rusev. You look at the guy, and he got the big push right out of the gate. He was undefeated for the longest time. You knew he was being groomed at the time for John Cena. You just knew it. You knew he was being groomed for John Cena. And whatever. He went to WrestleMania 31. He got the big tank entrance. That was really where his career peaked. On the tank at WrestleMania 31. Lost to John Cena. Lost the U.S. title. Went from heel to babyface back and forth. The Rusev Day stuff caught on. People liked Rusev. It was an organic movement. And they got behind it after a while. They put, you know, some t-shirts together, tried to make some money off of it. But the way that they pushed him, it was very, again, kind of start and stop. And we've seen this before with Dolph Ziggler and so many other people, where you think, okay, this is the moment for this guy to really break out. But the company never really fully gets behind them. I always thought Rusev was very entertaining. I think he's a naturally funny guy. There's a lot more they could have done with him. I think they dropped the ball with him after that initial push. They dropped the ball with him. It was the fans, it was you and I, who started this stupid Rusev Day stuff and gave him a new lease on life. Were it not for the fans doing the Rusev Day stuff, he might have been out of the company a lot sooner than he was. But I think Rusev would be an asset wherever he ends up. I think he's a naturally funny, entertaining guy. You know, he can be a heel, but I always got a kick out of him as a babyface, just him being himself. Now his wife, Lana, she's still with the company. She signed a 5-year deal last year. She's not going anywhere. Rusev, though, he's out of a job. I'm not sure this is not something that maybe he deep down inside is happy about. And the sooner that things can begin to get back to normal, I think everybody is going to have an interest in bringing Rusev in, whether it's AEW. I don't know if he'd be interested in going overseas to Japan, you know, doing something like that. I think he's going to be just fine. And I think wherever he lands, he'll be an asset wherever he goes. But Rusev will go down as a few people on this list as one of those examples of people who WWE just, you know, never fully took advantage of. They dropped the ball with him. And that's their loss. Then we have Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, the OC. The OC is no more. AJ Styles has not commented. I can't imagine he's happy to hear about his friends losing their job. They just re-signed big money deals with WWE, said to be for 5 years each, last summer. Remember, there was speculation about where they were going to go. Are they going to leave? Are they going to go back to Japan? Are they going to go to AEW? You know, they have friends in AEW. Where are they going to land? So they re-signed with WWE. And I think it's important to note, this is a great example. The one thing that we sometimes forget, and I don't know the nature of their departure, if they're getting money on the way out, if they're guaranteed a certain amount of money that, you know, they're going to have to be paid now. Yeah, I'm sure they're not destitute. But remember this, because it's easy to forget. WWE has the right to get rid of you anytime they see fit. You think about these have you seen copies of these WWE contracts that have leaked over the years? I know Raven's contract many years ago leaked. The language in these contracts, I mean, the way they get you is they're the number one game in town. You have guys who grew up watching WWE. It's their lifelong dream to be a WWE superstar. They'll sign on the dotted line maybe without even reading the whole contract. But you read some of the clauses in these contracts, and how much power they truly, you know, these guys are supposedly independent contractors. Independent contractors, my ass. Independent contractors, my fucking ass. Independent contractors. The language in these contracts very much favors WWE. They have the right to terminate you anytime they want. They give WWE the protection, not the talent. They have the protection from them signing somewhere else. But they also retain the ability to terminate you for whatever reason they deem necessary. So you may sign a 20-year deal. Remember the deal that Bret Hart signed? 20-year contract with WWE? It don't mean shit. Because anytime the company feels they can't pay you, they don't want you around anymore, they can find a way to get rid of your ass. So you never really have job security in WWE. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as job security in WWE. Doesn't exist. And these two right here are a great example of it. You think they signed five-year deals last summer because they expected to be fired a year later? Now, nobody could have predicted that there would be a pandemic. True. But obviously, they didn't sign those deals unless they wanted to stick around. And now they're gone. Obviously, this is all predicated on when things, quote-unquote, go back to normal. Because even in Japan, you know, they're dealing with a lot of these cases as well. You know, things have not reopened. New Japan has not had a show since, I guess, sometime probably in February, I would guess. Or maybe the very beginning of March. You know, things have not reopened there either. They would seem like a good fit if they wanted to go back there. If not, I would think AEW would look at them as a nice addition to their tag team division. You could argue they were also never used to their full potential. You know, look, we've seen a lot of them on TV in recent months. We just saw them in the main event of night one of WrestleMania. I mean, when was the last time that happened? That we had people featured in one of the WrestleMania main events, and a few weeks later, they're fired. That don't happen very often. So by the end there, it's like I would see Anderson and Gallows, and my reaction was like, eh, all right, whatever. That was the reaction that I had. But it's all in how you're booked and how you're portrayed and how you're used. And it wasn't very long after they made their debut, they weren't special anymore. Maybe now if they go somewhere else, they'll feel more special. But always remember, WWE, they have the power. They have full control. You'll only work for them as long as they want you there. Drake Maverick. I mentioned his video earlier that he posted on his social media. Short video, 2 minutes, tears in his eyes. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to see. He mentioned in the video he is still going to be allowed to compete in the Cruiserweight title tournament, so he's not done yet. He is not done yet. They're doing live television every week. I don't believe the tournament's been taped yet. So he's going to be wrestling three more matches at least for WWE. He's going to be competing in Group A, because they're doing this interim cruiserweight title tournament, very similar, kind of like their own little mini G1. They're doing it a little bit differently. He's part of Group A. He's going to be wrestling Kushida, Tony Nese, and Jake Atlas. So those are going to be his last three matches in WWE. Unless he wins, of course. But I mean, well, let's put it this way. Those are going to be his last three matches. This is not a work. It's not some kind of weird, warped storyline to rope you in and hope he wins and he goes on to win the whole thing. This is it for him. These are going to be his last three matches. And that's tough. You know, the biggest thing with him, he's just really sad that he won't have the chance to say goodbye to a lot of his friends. And again, he was a great utility player for the company. He was not a main eventer. He was not a featured player on the show. But through no fault of his own, he finds himself in this situation. And again, I think he could be an asset to a company. But Drake Maverick, let's just be honest here. Drake Maverick is not going to be at the head of the line that an AEW is going to want to sign. Right? Or a Ring of Honor is going to want to sign. He may be in line. He ain't going to be first. He probably isn't going to be first, second, or third. And the independent scene is basically frozen in time right now. So he sounded very concerned about his future. He's got a family. He's got a wife, I think. You know, how is he going to support his family? I don't know if he's a millionaire. So, you feel for a guy like that. You really do. Speaking of guys who they didn't know what to do with, they never gave a chance to, this guy, EC3. You talk about wasted potential. This guy you see on your screen right now is the fucking poster child for unused, wasted potential in WWE. He comes to NXT. He didn't spend very much time there. He was part of that big ladder match on one of the TakeOver specials. Yeah, they did a little bit with him. Then he moved on to the main roster. Remember, he was part of that group, I think, with Lacey Evans and Lars Sullivan, who is still employed, by the way, with WWE. Go figure. EC3's called up to the main roster. It's like, all right, cool. Let's see what they do with him, right? His strength isn't so much his work. EC3 was not regarded as some kind of great mat technician. It was his character, his persona, his mic work, his charisma, his personality, his charm. That's what he was known for in TNA. Did we have a chance to see that on the main roster? Nope. Had a couple of matches on TV, and after that first one or two matches, he was done. That was it. He was finished. And I can never get a straight answer, you know, when I would read, like, you know, what's going on here? I would ask people, what the hell's going on here? Do you know what's going on with this guy? Nobody ever had a straight answer on exactly what went wrong with EC3. Whose cornflakes did this fucking guy piss in behind the scenes? He looked the part, right? All jacked up, nice and tan, still a young guy. It's not like he was old and past his expiration date. And then as time went on, we saw the rise of MJF in AEW. And I would look at MJF and I would say, MJF is what EC3 could have been in a non-PG environment, right? Whether he would have gone to AEW or of WWE, if it was just a different product, he could have been that for WWE. Although MJF in a PG environment would never work. But I look at EC3 and I think to myself, and again, I don't want to come off as sounding like, oh, it's a good thing the guy got fired. I don't know what his financial situation is like. I don't know what he was making in WWE. I don't know if he saved his money. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know him personally. I can't speak to any of that. He's the one that I look at and I say to myself, good. Not good that, oh, I'm happy he got fired, but good. They don't fucking deserve him. They weren't doing anything with him. They literally had him on the bench and were intentionally not using him. Fuck this company for wasting this guy on the bench and not tapping into the potential that he had and literally wasting some of the best years of his career because he's not getting any younger. What did this fucking guy do to deserve being benched on the sidelines, having to watch everybody else, never being given the opportunity to do anything? It's not that they gave him the chance and he dropped the ball. He never even had the ball in his hand. Fuck this company. And what I would love to see is EC3 go somewhere else. It's hard because, you know, I look at him and I think MJF. I don't know that he would be a good fit in AEW. I really don't. So where else he might land, I don't know. Go back to Impact? I mean, you talk about going down as a career move. I don't think that's the move for him to make. Unless he just needs the money. I'm not sure where he lands. But wherever he lands, I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he just shoves it right back in Vince McMahon's face. If anybody deserves that, it's this guy. Because he never even had the chance. Maybe he would have failed. Maybe he would have been a flop. Maybe he would have been exposed. TNA, he was a big fish in a small pond. Maybe they held it against him. Because he used to be in WWE and they let him go. He went somewhere else and he became a bigger star. Wouldn't be the first time we've heard that, would it? Maybe that's the reason. Maybe he's resented by certain people behind the scenes. Maybe not Triple H. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe he made an enemy out of somebody. And they resent him for the fact that he actually got over somewhere else. So I say good. I hope he goes somewhere else and shoves it right back in their frickin' face. That's what I hope. Because he was going nowhere in this company. This also got me really irritated. And by the way, before I even get to Mike Chioda, Drake Maverick in EC3 also happened to be two of Braun Strowman's best friends in the company. Braun's been awfully quiet today on social media after his little outburst a few weeks ago where he went off one independent wrestler. Actually, it wasn't even an independent wrestler. It was Evil Uno from AEW. All he did was post a tweet that said, hey, you know, look out for some of your favorite independent wrestlers. They're going to be coming up on hard times. So, you know, if they have a Patreon, if they have a merch that you want to buy, it's all he said. And then Braun goes off on this whole rant about working hard and not accepting handouts. Well, two of his best friends just got shit-canned by the company that he works for. He's awfully quiet now. Be very interesting to see if he says anything in the days to come. So then we get to Mike Chioda. This one was maybe the most shocking. Honestly, out of all the wrestlers, the agents, everybody, This is the one that I looked at and did a double take, and I said, excuse me, I did not see this one coming. You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of Mark Yeaton, the timekeeper. He had worked for WWE for 30 years, and they shit-canned him a few years ago. Stone Cold on one of the Broken Skull sessions, I forgot which one, might have been the one with Bret Hart that he did recently. There was a Mark Yeaton mention. Somebody brought, I think he brought up Mark Yeaton. He even said, I don't really understand the reason for that release, because he was the one who used to throw Stone Cold all the beer cans. He had a great aim. He was a man of many responsibilities in WWE. 30-year employee. And they got rid of him. Never explained to him why. Just one day, poof, done. Talk about loyalty. So here we have Mike Chioda. Mike Chioda has been with WWE for a very long time. Mike Chioda has been with WWE. In fact, he is the longest tenured referee, I believe, in WWE history. Started with the company in 1989. Think how long back that goes. That's a year before The Undertaker debuted in WWE. And think about how long The Undertaker has been working in that company. Now, Chioda actually did not go full-time in the company until 1992. So, I believe there was about a year or so that, I don't know if he left the company or he was on sabbatical or what it was. Full-time, 1992, my favorite year. Part of a lot of classic matches. He was in the ring for the big upset on Monday Night Raw. 1-2-3 Kid Pin Razor Ramon, he was the referee. Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 14. You know, Earl Hebner at the time, Earl Hebner had been the senior official in WWE. He had a brain aneurysm. Right before WrestleMania that year, Mike Chioda took over. He was the referee for the main event that year. Hulk Hogan and The Rock, one of the most memorable matches in WrestleMania history. He was in the ring for that match. Rock's comeback match against John Cena, WrestleMania 28. Mike Chioda's the referee. Rock's hugging him after the match. The ring collapse on SmackDown, Brock Lesnar and Big Show. Chioda was the one who did the flop in the ring when the ring collapsed. So he's been around for a long time. He's had a lot of classic moments, matches that he's been a part of in his day. I haven't seen him lately. I had heard that either he had surgery or I think he was out. He may have been hurt. But he is gone. Fired. Just like that. By WWE. That sucks. That really sucks. Eric Rowan was released. Eric Rowan was done the minute they did the spider reveal a few weeks ago. The animatronic spider, after weeks and weeks and weeks of him carrying that stupid cage around. What's inside the cage? What's he carrying around with him? Then they have the spider reveal. Then Drew McIntyre kills the spider. He killed his career. When he killed the spider, he killed his career. What else was left for him to do at that point? So now Rowan is gone. I have no idea where Eric Rowan may or may not end up. You know, obviously Luke Harper now is in AEW and he's doing the Dark Order. Would Eric Rowan make for a good member of the Dark Order? I suppose you could reunite them. I suppose. Is he really going to make a difference in AEW? No, but it could be a landing spot for him because of the relationship that he's had before, you know, with Luke Harper. Heath Slater is another one. 14 years, although on his Twitter, he said it was 16. So I'll take his word for it. 16 years, going back to his developmental days in WWE. That's a long time. He posted a tweet, and obviously he was shell-shocked by the news. He was still trying to process it, didn't really have a whole lot to say. Said later on he'll probably make a statement. Obviously, he was never going to be used in any kind of major way. He had kind of settled into this utility player role in the company. I had joked a couple weeks ago when McIntyre won the championship. I said, you know, Drew McIntyre is the WWE champion. Jinder Mahal was WWE champion. Heath Slater was the last remaining member of 3MB to not be WWE champion. So now he had to begin his trek You know, he had to begin his ascent to try to become the champion, and then he gets fired. I just saw Heath Slater last week. I think it was on that Bump show. You know, they piped him in via satellite while they were interviewing Drew McIntyre, and they shared a very emotional moment. He was talking about how proud he was of Drew, and then he brought up Drew's mom. I guess Drew's mom passed away a number of years ago, and you could see tears in Slater's eyes. I know how much it would mean to your mom right now. She's looking down. It was like a really, you know, kind of an emotional moment. And I'm sure people like Drew McIntyre, hearing this news, are probably gutted. You know, Heath Slater is somebody who was very well liked in that company. One of the more interesting things about Slater, back in the Nexus days, if you'll notice, when they had Bret Hart doing some physical stuff on TV, every time Bret Hart would appear on TV, or in the 10-man tag at SummerSlam back in 2010, the one where John Cena won, even though he shouldn't have, it was always Slater working with Bret. It was always Slater bumping for Bret. They trusted him enough to be the one to go in there with Bret Hart, given his, you know, physical limitations. Or maybe Bret himself said, hey, I want to work with Heath. And Heath was always the one to work with Bret and bump for him and everything. So, you know, he was well-liked. But, again, one of these guys who was expendable because he was not a money guy in that company. So when you look at the roster, who can we cut? We got to get rid of people. They weren't going to get rid of Seth Rollins. They weren't going to get rid of Roman Reigns. They weren't going to get rid of, you know, Daniel Bryan or any of those guys. A guy like Heath Slater, you know, basically what WWE did, they did what Brock Lesnar told them on TV. I don't give a shit about your kids. And they fired him. Speaking of longtime guys in the company, well, that's not the longtime guy. We'll go back to Heath Slater. Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder, after 14 years in WWE, gone from the company. Here's a guy who, again, the company was doing nothing with, got over on his own with that YouTube show. WWE said, we want to control the show. We want your show on our YouTube channel. That was the beginning of the end of the Z True Hollywood story. Once WWE took it over, that was it. Even Ryder, I think, said that. You know, he had no control over, like, no creative control over it anymore. The show was dead. But he got himself over. You got to respect the guy. He got himself over. He went from being an edgehead to having 15,000 people. And I was in the building that night in Madison Square Garden at the Survivor Series in 2011. The Rock had just wrestled his first match in almost 8 years, tagging with John Cena. Show's off the air. Rock's in the ring, mic in his hand, cutting a promo. The Rock is drowned out by chants of We Want Ryder. I don't think that's ever happened again. Hasn't happened since. But he was drowned out. And The Rock had to stop and actually acknowledge it and say, hey, I like Zack Ryder. Yeah, he's a great guy, great kid. But that's how hot there for a period he was. You know, like with Daniel Bryan, the fans willed it. They appreciated the guy's moxie. They said, we want to see this guy. We want Ryder. He got a U.S. title run out of it. It was brief, but he got a U.S. title run. The highlight of his career probably was WrestleMania 32, you know, winning the IC title in the ladder match. 100,000 people, AT&T Stadium. He lost it the next night. He didn't hold it for very long, but that's a moment that nobody could ever take away from him. You know, his girlfriend, Chelsea Green, she's still employed. She's working for NXT. Sucks to be split up like that. But, you know, he had 14 years in the company. Honestly, that's a lot longer than I ever expected Zack Ryder would be working for WWE. And I think there are a lot of companies who would benefit from having him as, you know, kind of a utility guy on their roster. I don't see Zack Ryder ever really right. I see Zack Ryder kind of as a Sean Spears. Sean Spears left WWE. He went to AEW. He had that one program with Cody. And Sean Spears at this point is pretty much right where you would almost expect him to be. He's basically a utility guy on that roster. Well respected. You know, has his own wrestling school. But never going to be a top guy. I never saw Zack Ryder as being a top guy. Still don't. But I definitely think there's a place somewhere for him. 14 years. You know, again, I got to say, longer than I ever expected that he would be working for WWE. Curt Hawkins, tag team partner, one of his best friends, in and out of WWE, also spent many, many years there. Curt Hawkins, gone. Fired. Leo Rush has had his problems here and there. Leo Rush sometimes says things he shouldn't say. Leo Rush has gotten himself heat when Emma, was it Emma? I think it was Emma, who got fired. And Emma, I think, may have just wrestled Asuka. Leo's the one who went on Twitter and said, I guess she wasn't ready for Asuka. He got a lot of heat for that. Got a lot of heat for that comment when Emma got fired. And now here's Leo Rush finding himself in the same position. Fired. Gone. From WWE. Leo Rush is incredibly talented. Leo Rush would be a big asset in AEW. I look at Leo Rush the way I look at like a Darby Allin. Imagine a match between Darby Allin and Leo Rush in AEW. I think that would be a great landing spot for him. And not for nothing, I've heard some of his music. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good musician, too. Eric Young. Eric Young never had a shot. Let's just be honest. Eric Young never had a shot. Sanity was never given a shot. They came up to the main roster. Immediately, they were jobbed out. Why they were even called up, I have no idea. I really don't. I don't know why they were even called up. He and Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane never had a chance. But I never looked at Eric Young as being, you know, anything special on the main roster regardless. You know, I know he's well-liked. I know a lot of people respect him. But, again, utility guy. I can't say that the, you know, WWE, oh, they should have done more with Eric Young. You know what? They were never going to do anything with him to begin with. So now he can go somewhere else and you know, he can be that kind of player on another roster. No Way Jose, another example. Here's a guy slotted at a certain level. You know, he would come out, he would do the conga line. I mean, he was Adam Rose. That's what he was. He was Adam Rose. And Adam Rose ain't around anymore either. Aiden English. Aiden English was not being used in a wrestling capacity. He was an announcer. You know, him and Rusev being released on the same day. Hey, you know, I know there's not a lot of indie shows going on right now, but if the two of them want to get together and sort of do, you know, restart the whole Rusev Day thing. Well, I don't know if he could use the Rusev name, but maybe the two of them get back together and they do some stuff together. You know? So Aiden English is gone. Sarah Logan, one of the members of the Riot Squad, gone. And her husband is it Eric? I think it's Eric and Ivar, right? Eric is her husband. That's got to suck, right? Your wife works for the company. You travel together. You work on the same roster. Your wife gets fired. That's got to suck. So I feel bad for the both of them. This is not a happy day in their life. But the writing was on the wall. We saw Sarah Logan on TV this week. You know, the segment with her and Shayna Baszler came out and just, you know, fucking destroyed her. It seemed like they knew then, you know, that she was on the chopping block and now she's gone. Primo and Epico, I'm shocked they were still employed. I, honest to God, had no idea they were still working for WWE. When was the last time they even showed up on TV? When was the last time we saw Primo and Epico on TV? I thought they left a long time ago. Apparently not. So now they're gone. Now we have Mike and Maria Kanellis. Mike and Maria, they came out with that, I thought it was cool theme music, right? First time we saw them. The Power of Love. And I don't know what happened at that point. I guess Mike had certain issues. I think he disappeared for a while. Then he came back. They did the whole storyline where Maria would come out and embarrass him on television every week. You're a terrible husband. You're a terrible this, terrible father. You have no balls. You know, you're a puss, all these things to just make this guy look like the biggest loser that you have ever seen. And I guess they tried to make the most of it. At least they were getting TV time. But he was dead. They buried this guy 6 feet under. And they used his own wife to bury him. Talk about the balls on this company. They had the guy's own wife go on television and bury the shit out of her husband. Then she got pregnant which is why we haven't seen her on TV. I don't know, did she have the baby or not? I don't know if she's still pregnant or not, but they got rid of both of them. So Mike and Maria are gone. WWE, they gave up on these two, more so Mike than Maria. I know Paul Heyman apparently was a big Maria Kanellis fan, but they gave up on Mike, you know, almost from day one. You know, he was doing the Kingdom thing in Ring of Honor with Matt Taven, left, came to WWE. I would not be at all shocked if he went right back to Ring of Honor. Went right back to the role he was in before. Now, most, if not all of these, I think, looking back at all the names I just rattled off, I believe they were mostly Raw names, which makes me think that SmackDown may be next. There could be more names coming, and those names may well be coming from SmackDown. NXT was not immune from this either. There were some NXT names, and we don't know all of the names. WWE usually does not announce NXT cuts publicly, so there may be more. These are the ones that we have confirmed by the talent on their own social media accounts, talking publicly about it. Deonna Purrazzo, we've seen her make some appearances on Raw, usually job matches. She was just on TV jobbing last week to Nia Jax. She's really good. I mean, Deonna Purrazzo is really good. People make fun of her for, you know, her physique and stuff. Those people can go, you know, those people can go suck a dick. I mean, she is very good. I think she would be an asset to any women's division that she lands in. AEW can use her, I think, in their women's division too. I'd like to see her get a shot somewhere. MJ Jenkins. She was signed in 2018, lost to Rhea Ripley in the second Mae Young Classic, and not only did she lose her job as a result of this virus, but she also lost her brother-in-law, who she says was her legal guardian. She lost her brother-in-law to the illness as well, so you talk about a double whammy. That is horrible. And Alexander Jaksic, he was signed last summer after being trained by Santino Marella. He wrestled on the NXT live events. Never appeared on TV. Never saw him. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. If you showed me a picture of this guy, I could not pick him out of a lineup because he never was on TV, but he is gone as well. Now, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful says that all the NXT talents that are released are being provided 30 days pay, and they will be then free to go wherever they choose. So they are not going to be bound by a 60-day non-compete, 90-day non-compete. They are free after those 30 days to do whatever it is they want to do. So at least they're not being held, you know, they're not being handcuffed by that. I don't know if that extends to the main roster cuts as well. He only said for sure that it applies to all of the NXT cuts. I think they should extend it to the main roster. I think they should. I think it should apply to everyone. We know of at least one writer that was released by WWE. The one that we know of, Andrea Lissenberger. I'm shocked they had a female writer. Andrea Lissenberger, she worked on the SmackDown side. She tweeted this. She said, "Lots of people getting let go at WWE today, and regrettably, I am one of them. I am proud of the work that I've been able to do since starting in December, and I'm glad that the storyline I worked on resonated with so many people. That's what writing is about for me. Hashtag Otis and Mandy forever." So, she was either the writer responsible or one of the writers responsible for the Otis and Mandy storyline that has been playing itself out now for the last several months on SmackDown television. You have heard me come on my show before and say that it is the best story going in WWE. Now, you could sit there and joke and say, oh, well, that doesn't speak very highly of WWE storytelling. True. they definitely are weak in that department, but it's just a nice, simple story. Otis is just a completely likable guy. I think it's a story a lot of people can relate to. And at WrestleMania, we got the big payoff. He got the plant a wet one on Mandy Rose. He got the girl for now until she turns on him. But he got the girl. I love that story. So if she was in any way responsible for it, that sucks. They actually got rid of one of the writers who wrote a story that I liked. That's not good. That is not good. So, again, she's the only writer at this point that we are aware of. It's possible more have been cut. You don't hear about the writers, right? The writers don't get any of the glory. So we don't know if any of the other writers have been let go. The Performance Center, not immune. 3 Performance Center coaches released. Ace Steele, who trained CM Punk and Colt Cabana. I believe he was in the crowd at Money in the Bank 2011 when CM Punk won the WWE title for the first time from John Cena. So Ace Steele, he was hired last October. He is gone. Serena Deeb, who you may remember as Serena from the Straight Edge Society, speaking of CM Punk. She was working as a coach and a trainer at the PC since 2018. Gone. And former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Kendo Kashin, who was hired last August, he is also gone. He was working at the PC, and he is gone as well. So that is what we know as far as the WWE releases are concerned. On the one hand, as I said, a lot of companies are doing what WWE did today. They're shaving 10, 15, 20% of their workforce. They're delaying bonuses. So if you're due a bonus this year, either it's deferred or you're shit out of luck. You're not getting a bonus this year. They're furloughing people with the hope that they can bring them back at some point. Look, I'm worried about my own job. I'm on the cusp too. Small companies, this is what happens. I don't know what's going to be. I think I'm good for the next month or two. After that, June, I don't know what's going to be. You know, thank God I have the podcast. That's all I can say. But I worry about my health insurance. You know, I've got my own health issues, and I worry. What happens if I lose that? It's a huge expense. I have a pre-existing condition. Everybody is worried right now. Everybody has a reason to be worried. And that's what sucks the most. All of these people were blindsided by this. For every Rusev and people like that who it almost seems like they were already kind of on the outs with the company, there were a lot of people today who did not expect to wake up this morning and lose their job. And they're losing their job at the absolute worst possible time that you could lose your job. And there's no guarantee that there's going to be a rainbow on the other side waiting for them. Because everybody is in the same boat. And that includes AEW. Do not be shocked to hear about the same things happening in AEW. I hope not. I hope not. But they're not immune. So that's really the story here. I don't want to it's not just bash WWE. There's a lot of stuff about Vince McMahon that he's been in the news this week. Not good. There really is no positive thing to report on Vince McMahon being in the news. It was practically all negative this week or just being mocked for this or that. It's a bad reflection on a company that hoards talent because they don't want other people to play with our toys. We don't want you to play with them. They're our toys. And the first sign of trouble, they discard the toys. And that's really what happened here. But this is not a company that's in jeopardy of going out of business. This is a company that is still cash rich. This is a company that's going to do just fine. This is a company that is looking out for itself. For all this talk about our family. You know what I also love before I move on to AEW? And I'm going to get more into this on Sunday. I don't want to tackle this whole story now. But you know, the whole thing about WWE being deemed essential in the state of Florida. Total bullshit. Total bullshit. Even if you are of the opinion, oh, it's great that WWE is going live every week. Why can't you just appreciate it? Why can't you just show your appreciation for WWE going live? I appreciate the hell out of the fact that we're getting fresh wrestling content on television every single week. It don't have to be live. And you talk about TV contracts. Oh, supposedly the Fox deal or this deal, certain number of weeks are only allowed to have tape programming. It would not be difficult. I would have to think. And I have not seen the contract. I have not seen the contract. You have not seen the contract. So we don't know for sure what it says and what it doesn't say. It's all speculation. But if going live is the issue, would it really be all that hard to insert certain live segments into the show or even have one live match every single week and not have to fly everybody in every single week, every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, and take that risk? Because to me, that's the biggest red flag of all. You're in the middle of a pandemic. Look at the way it's affecting this company. Look at all the people who got fired today. You're still flying these people in and out during a pandemic. You don't think there's risk involved there? Really? You have to be live every week? You're essential? WWE is essential? Professional wrestling is essential? Boy, you know, that money goes a long way. It's one of the lessons I've learned this week. Money sure does go a long way. Not a good look for WWE. But let's think about all these wrestlers, because at the end of the day, that's really the big story here. You know, they're the ones that are really being affected by this. So, AEW had a show tonight. And before we get to that show, let me just show some love for everybody in the chat, because we got a lot of people listening live. So I want to say thank you to everybody who is joining me here tonight. And all you AEW fans who have sat here through the WWE talk, I appreciate it. But that clearly was the big story of the day. Hopefully I won't have to do one of these for AEW, because that would be bad. But Sean Turner, thank you for the super chat earlier. Kevin, oh my God, dropping a $10 super chat. Harold Warren with the $12. Sean Waters, thank you. Would love to know who Vince McMahon's top team that convinced they were essential in Florida and Trump put him in to stimulate the economy. Yes, Vince McMahon is going to stimulate us. Are you ready to be stimulated by Vince McMahon? Because I'm not. I don't know about you. I don't need Vince McMahon to stimulate me. I can do that by myself. Anyway, Dynamite tonight. Chris Jericho once again joined Tony Schiavone on commentary. Jericho is great. Week two. Jericho's a natural at this. In fact, I think he, in some ways, he helped save parts of the show. We had Jake the Snake, once again, a Jake the Snake promo to open the night. I certainly will never complain about a show opening with a Jake the Snake Roberts promo. I certainly will never have an issue with that or complain about that. Yeah, he was talking about Lance Archer being in the TNT Championship Tournament. And each time he wins, he gets that much closer to getting what he wants, which is Cody, match with Cody. And he praised Colt Cabana, but said he's not good enough to take on Lance Archer. Archer was exiled to Japan, dominated in Japan, and now he's back. Listen to me or regret it. Jake is great. You want to see a great video? After this horrible, horrible day of news in wrestling, if you're looking for an uplifting video, go on DDP's Twitter. I think it was a couple of days ago. Easter Sunday. He posted a video. Him, I don't know if it's his grandchild that he had with him, with the bunny ears on. I think it was DDP and his daughter. Going downstairs in the DDP crib. Jake is quarantined because he had gone to work for AEW. So when he when he came back, he had to be quarantined. He was stuck in a hotel for a while. DDP finally took him back in, and they brought him food, I think breakfast on Easter morning, and Jake opens the door, and just the look on Jake's face, how appreciative he was, and how taken aback he was that DDP would take him in like this and do this for him. It's a great video. It was a great video. But here, this was sinister Jake the Snake. We don't want to get all sappy here with Jake. Jake here is the heel on the show. So we have to look at him as such. We have to look at him as the heel here on this show. So the opening match was the Murder Hawk himself. The Murder Hawk monster Lance Archer against Colt Cabana. TNT title tournament. Archer came out. First thing he did, he knocked down one of the wrestlers in the crowd. I don't know who it was. One of the baby faces just knocked the piss out of him, knocked him down, and went in the ring, and yeah, mostly dominated. Colt obviously got some offense in, but in the end, Archer picks up the win with the blackout. I thought it was very effective, you know, in portraying Archer as the monster that he is. Cabana got some hope spots, got some offense, but the outcome here was a no-brainer. He is going to get his match soon with Cody. Britt Baker got a promo from her dentist's office. It's weird, like, I'm due for a dental cleaning. I try to go twice a year. And I can't go because, you know, the dentist, he's only taking emergencies. Like, if I tripped and fell and smashed all my teeth, I'd be able to go to the dentist. But for non-essential, if I was a WWE employee, my dentist would see me. You know why? Because I am an essential employee. But since I'm not essential, he won't see me. So Britt Baker's in her office cutting a promo on what it's like to be a role model and playing by the rules. She's the face of the division. We had Ariel Helwani, Taz, Ron Funches, Mike Goldberg, Big John McCarthy, Excalibur, all these people throughout the night talking about the main event between John Moxley and Jake Hager, making their picks for who they thought was going to win, trying to really build this thing up like a fight. One of the people that they talked to was this guy. He's an actor, comedian, Dan Soder. I don't know how many of you have heard Dan Soder before. He appears on some radio shows from time to time. First time I saw Dan Soder, I got to see him live at a roast for the Iron Sheik. And Soder had what I believe to be the greatest Randy Savage impersonation that I have ever heard in my life. And there are some people who do great Macho Man impersonations. Obviously, Jay Lethal being one of them. Honest to God, I've never heard anybody with as good of an impersonation. Like, if you closed your eyes, you would think you were listening to Randy Savage himself. So you got to look up Dan Soder. You'll see what I'm talking about. So they interviewed him as well. We had Britt Baker in action against Cassandra Golden. And Hikaru Shida was in the crowd. She was not impressed with Britt Baker. And, you know, easy win for Britt Baker. Made her bite the ropes. Curb stomped her for the win. Then we got a segment called The Bubbly Bunch. Spinoff on The Brady Bunch. And basically, this was a series of segments with the members of the Inner Circle. At home. In their homes. Doing kind of like a video hangout with each other. We see, Ortiz and... Yeah, the members of Proud and Powerful, Sammy Guevara, he's working out. He's really bothered by the fact that Matt Hardy called him a fake Latino. So he proceeds to punch. He has like a punching bag in his apartment. And he goes, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, 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 cinco. He can't count above cinco. Cinco's the only, that's the last number he knows. But he's very upset that Matt Hardy called him a fake Latino. Can only count to five. You can't count any more than that. Then my favorite part, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but Jake Hager had my favorite part of this entire segment. They cut to Jake Hager. He's outside of his home. He's lounging out by the pool. Sitting next to him are his two kids. And he's talking to, you know, whatever, whoever he's talking to on the phone from the Inner Circle. He's talking about John Moxley. He looks over at his kids. And, you know, his kids couldn't have been older than, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Looks over at his kids. He goes, earmuffs, kids. And his kids put their hands over their ears. And he goes, I'm going to beat the shit out of John Moxley. Fucking died. I don't know why. I laughed so hard. That was the best part of this whole thing. And they cut to Jericho. Jericho's in his house making eggs. Talking about how they're going to win at Blood and Guts. We're never going to get this Blood and Guts match, are we? We're never getting Blood and Guts. They keep talking about it. They keep teasing it. Double ring, war games, blood and guts. We're never going to get this fucking match. It sucks, too, because I was looking forward to it. But what are you going to do? But he's saying, you know, when blood and guts happens, we're going to get the win over the Elite. And then at the very end, he screams into his phone. He complains. He goes, he still doesn't have any toilet paper. Can you find me some? You see? All you people? Nope. There goes Siri again. Don't you fuck with me, Siri. This fucking phone has done this to me. It's just sitting there. And then it has a mind of its own. But anyway, he's very upset that he has no toilet paper. And I think he's absolutely right. All you people out there, stop buying up all the damn toilet paper. And we had Shug D, Sugar Dunkerton, or Pineapple Pete, as Jericho calls him, against Sammy Guevara. And Guevara missed a charge into the corner. Dunkerton made a comeback and hit a couple of chops, a couple of uppercut forearms. Sammy hit a running knee, GTS, inverted GTS for the pin. Cuts a promo after the match, says that in the first round of this TNT title tournament, he's going to beat the shit. Boy, they love saying that word on this show, don't they? Hager, Jericho, Sammy. Come to think of it, maybe it's just an inner circle thing. They all love saying the word shit. And Chris Jericho can't actually take a shit because he has no toilet paper. Because of all you people. He says he's going to beat the shit out of Darby Allin. That face-painted weirdo. Face-painted weirdo comes out. Guevara bails. We had Chucky T. Chuck Taylor of the Best Friends. With Orange Cassidy in his corner taking on Kip Sabian. With Penelope Ford. Jericho is funny here. They showed Marco Stunt at ringside, cheering. He was standing next to Billy Gunn and his son Austin. And Jericho, he looks at them and he says, you know, they look like a row of stairs. Marco Stunt, it's like Billy Gunn's like 8 feet tall. You got Marco Stunt, he's like 8 inches tall. They look like a row of stairs, he says. I just looked at it and I thought to myself, we have one Kip cheering on another. That's what I thought. Jimmy Havoc, he came out of the crowd to yank Orange Cassidy off the apron, planted him with a DDT on the floor, elevated DDT. Meanwhile, Sabian's in the ring. He's got the ref distracted in the corner. Penelope Ford comes off the top rope, flying Rana off the top rope, takes over Chuck Taylor. Sabian rolls him up for the win. I thought the match was fun. You know, a lot of it had to do with Jericho being entertaining on commentary. But I thought the match was fun. And Sabian winning. I mean, look, Sabian had to win. He's facing Dustin Rhodes in the TNT title tournament. So, he's got to win. We had Sean Spears against Justin Law making his AEW debut. Justin Law, not to be confused with the actor Justin Long. I don't know why I thought of him, but no. It was Justin Law. Kind of looked like me a little bit. Although I think I have more muscle definition than Justin Law has. Got to give myself some credit here. So this was an easy win for Sean Spears. A rare win on Dynamite for Sean Spears. Let me rattle off some more of these. Man, I am way behind, aren't I? I'm way behind on the Super Chats. But I got to show my thanks to everybody who's been donating tonight. I was going to debut a new one tonight. I think one that you're going to enjoy, but in light of the events of today, I didn't think it would be appropriate, so I'll save that for next week. But thank you for everybody who has been chiming in, including Emmanuel Medhane. Thank you for the $5. Obviously, he's very sympathetic to all those who have lost their jobs today. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the super chat. Do you think this is WWE's consequence of hoarding talent? Well, that's what I just got done talking about. Absolutely. Absolutely. Scorpio Sky's well-trimmed beard. Thank you for the $2. Z. Paul Lucenti says, rest in peace, King Jeremiah King, King of Flatbush, King of Beers, a person who was the life of the party and made everybody feel happy always. Well, rest in peace. B.M. Chamblee. Thank you for the $10. Braun Strowman tweet really aged well. Yeah, see, that's why you shouldn't really go off half-cocked on social media and say stupid shit. Now, from what I understand, Braun actually was talked to by a few people. Some of the other wrestlers in the company felt sorry, felt bad about what he said. I hope so. I hope he can understand why people would have been upset. It's not that people don't think you shouldn't work hard for everything you get in life, but that was just a really tone-deaf, stupid fucking thing that he tweeted. And now two of his best friends just lost their jobs. I wouldn't think he'd be tweeting that about them or posting Instagram comments about EC3 and Drake Maverick. I don't see that happening. Strat, thank you for the $20. $18.5 million gets you classified as essential in Florida. Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it? Yeah, if you dumped $18.5 million in my account, I'll call you whatever you want. Alex Camp, thank you. great use of my first purchase from my stimuli. He took part of his stimulus check and he did a super chat. That's pretty cool. Aaron Cruz, thank you. Appreciate it. Mark Q, the Mark. They released Rusev on Rusev Day. Been subbed for 3 to 4 years now. Much love from Chicago. Well, thank you, Mark. Red Emissary of Darkness, thank you for the $10. Vince made a contract on a pole match, and ironically, it isn't this Vince on the image, considering the timing of the releases almost feels like a sick joke. Well, I wish it was. I wish it was. Unfortunately, it's definitely not. Daniel Carr, thank you for the super chat. Had a lot of good stuff here to say about Rusev. MJF Scarf. I'm trying to debate who I like more, MJF Scarf or Scorpio Sky's well-trimmed beard. Prince Walker, thank you. Spanish Goddish says, I hope EC3 and Drake Maverick get picked up by AEW. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. You know, we very briefly, they were doing stuff in WWE. I can never understand why they didn't just put the two of them together. They had great chemistry in Impact. And the only thing I could think of is they just did not want to copy something that TNA did. They felt, I guess, that maybe it was beneath them, where they just legitimately did not see the value at all. I mean, Drake Maverick got more TV time than EC3 ever did. Who would have imagined that? Think about that. When they were in TNA together, if you were to say both are going to get picked up by WWE, who would you have predicted would get more television time between the two of them? I never would have expected Maverick would be the one and EC3 would be sitting on the sidelines, but that's how it worked out. Chris Quillman, thank you. Talked about JR's quote. I'm going to get to that here in a bit. And Johnny Mallard, thank you for the super chat. We'll get to more of these here in a little bit. I am going to set the phone lines up for those of you who would like to call in here in a little bit. But it is... Man, we got a lot of... I'm trying to keep track of all these messages that are streaming in, and this is just not working out here. So I apologize if I can't see everything that you guys are saying. Main event, Jon Moxley with his first AEW title defense in a no-holds-barred empty arena match with Jake Hager of the Inner Circle. Jim Ross was on the call for the match. He was on the call by himself. Now, they mentioned going into this match that Moxley has never lost in AEW. And Hager, I don't believe Hager has lost unless he lost by DQ or something. I'm not aware of him. I'm not aware of him losing. I mean, I could certainly be wrong. But I don't believe that he's lost either. So really, you had two undefeated guys coming into this match. They were building this match as a fight. That's how they were promoting this throughout the entire show. And really, they've been promoting this now for a couple of weeks. I thought some of the video packages that they put together with these guys have actually been quite good. You know, and look, when you have empty arena shows and you can't fly people all over the place and everything, you've got to improvise, you've got to do certain things. And one of the things that they have been able to do is put together these video segments and video packages, very UFC-esque, I think, in a lot of ways. And I think they've done a very good job of that. So I really think they've done a good job of, you know, promoting this match coming into it. The only thing is, I said this last week, I, for the life of me, could not buy Jake Hager as, you know, a plausible world champion in this company. So the outcome of this match to me was never in doubt. And I just can't bring myself to get excited about Jake Hager. Now, Tony Khan, I have to say this. Coming into this match, Tony Khan set the bar very high. He set the bar very high for this match. Tony Khan said that this was going to be... Now, this is a taped match, okay? So he had already seen it. He had already watched the match. And he went on social media. And he opined that this was the best empty arena match ever. I believe that's what he said. The best empty arena match, or at least that he had ever seen. Tony, having watched the main event, I can tell you, Tony Khan lied to us. He lied, is what Tony Khan did. I thought that the match itself, it was okay. You know, they were sweating their asses off. You could see sweat flying all over the place. They were beating the hell out of each other. At no point, though, was I really thinking, man, this match is really good. It was missing something, and I don't just mean the audience. I think Tony Khan made a mistake. I think he overhyped this match. He would have been better off not saying anything at all. Now, part of the problem also, I think, was the presentation here. We went from having Chris Jericho and Tony Schiavone bouncing off each other on commentary, and we had wrestlers all throughout the show at ringside making noise, you know. We went from all of that to having Jim Ross by himself because JR was at home. He was working out of his home studio. So I kind of understand why. I guess maybe logistically they couldn't work it out where, you know, JR was home and maybe Tony was home, Tony Schiavone. But we had JR by himself and total silence, right? It was an empty arena match, no wrestlers at ringside. So it was a very jarring change from the rest of the show. At one point, Jim Ross asked, he goes, he's like, why do we need security railings if there's no audience? As they were, you know, brawling into the crowd. And then he goes, you know, anytime you're surrounded by inanimate objects, they're going to win. Which, I didn't know that. I guess that's a good point. Anytime you're surrounded by inanimate objects, they're going to win. I have a microphone in front of my face right now. If I tried to wrestle this microphone, I guess the microphone's going to win. Over there, I see a remote control sitting on the desk. If I tried to wrestle that thing to the ground, ain't going to work. I guess the remote control, it's got the advantage. Look over there, I see a dust bunny. I could go on. I could go on all night. Anyway, I learned something new every time I listen to Jim Ross on commentary. We had Jon Moxley at one point. He applied a figure four to Hager around one of the stairway hand railings. Later on inside the ring, Hager had grabbed a chair. He wedged it in between the ropes in the corner and was going to slam Moxley into it. And they, you know, they went back and forth and they teased that he was going to reverse it. Ultimately, Moxley did go head first into the chair. Hager put the ankle lock on Moxley. Moxley's cursing. They're bleeping it all out. Fights his way out of it. And he ends up hitting the paradigm shift onto the steel chair for the win. Even the win here, it just kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. Again, Tony Khan told me that this was the best empty arena match I was ever going to see. This was definitely not. Let that be a lesson. Don't overhype things. Don't ever go into something and say, oh man, this is going to be the best thing ever. Because you know what? You're going to have a lot of people who come out of it saying, that was not the best thing ever. I live by a certain philosophy. This is a good life lesson, I think, for everybody out there. Always set your expectations very low. That way, when your expectations are met, or if your expectations are exceeded, you'll be happy. You'll be impressed. You'll be surprised, right? If you set your expectations very high, I mean, how often do you really meet those expectations? Basically, what I'm saying is I set the bar very low. That's just a general rule, wrestling or otherwise. I set the bar very low. So that way I always come out of it being more impressed than I was going into it. I think that's a good life lesson. So Jon Moxley wins, no surprise there. He retains in his very first AEW title defense. Next week, we've got Orange Cassidy wrestling his first singles match on Dynamite against Jimmy Havoc. We have two tournament matches. Darby Allin takes on Sammy Guevara, and Kip Sabian takes on Dustin Rhodes. And we were also told that Kenny Omega would be in action. Kenny Omega will be in singles action because Hangman Page is nowhere to be found. Hangman Page is at home drinking a lot. I worry about the guy. He's going to come back with a big beer gut. But anyway, that's the lineup for next week. Let's check these Twitter polls, see what you guys thought of the show. AEW Dynamite poll, over 1,300 votes in. 73.5% thumbs up, 26.5% thumbs down. That is lower than usual. That is lower than usual. Dynamite usually is in that 80% range. This kind of looks more like NXT numbers to me, which makes me wonder what you guys thought of NXT. Let's take a look. Well, even worse. I thought this might be the week. I thought this might be the week that AEW loses in the Twitter poll to NXT, but alas, it is not to be. 61.6% thumbs up for NXT. 38.4%. That's almost 40%. Thumbs down. with about 1,000 votes in. NXT did win the overall ratings, head-to-head last week, the live audience. They won by a whopping 400 live viewers. I think it was 692,900 to 692,500. Something ridiculous like that. So, anyway, I don't really know if that's a win I would gloat over, per se. But a win is a win. We'll see if AEW can come back. Look, both shows are down. That's just the way things are going to be. These empty arena shows are not the same. AEW generally does, a better job with them. They try to generate noise. The people in the crowd, Jericho on commentary, is very entertaining. It's just not the same. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's just not. So I see these numbers going down and down and down each week. And that's not the direction that you want them to be going in, unfortunately. So let me take a quick pause here, because I got to get the phone stuff set up. I understand the lines are not open. So if you are trying to call, you are not doing anything wrong. I just have not yet opened the line, which I'm going to do right. I'm actually going to try to do this as I am talking. I'm going to try to do two things at once. And hopefully you don't hear any of this stuff because I muted it. So we'll see how this all goes. As we open the lines up, we'll take a few calls before we wrap up here. I don't want to go too long tonight. All right, so we should be all... All right. Here we go. So if you guys want to call in, let me just get this all set up here. All right, so if you guys call in now, the number should work. And we'll start taking some calls here in just a second as I run through some more of these Super Chats here. Got to say thank you to everybody who's been donating here throughout the stream. I know I'm way behind. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. I know there's some big ones. Some big ones in here. Got to show love. Matthew, by the way, Matthew Perham, thank you. Says he wants to call in tonight. When do you release the... Release the hounds. When do you release the number, he said. Well, there it is. It's on your screen, so good luck. There's only 7 lines tonight, so I guarantee you they're all going to be jammed up. Darius Smith, thank you for the $5. Sad day, he says. Primo and Epico really went under the radar. You know, look, Primo and Epico, they may be technically sound, but I'd be lying if I said that, I'm really overly emotional about it. I thought they were already gone from the company. I thought they were back in Puerto Rico just working for their dad. So to me, it's not really a great loss for WWE. I mean, I hate seeing people lose their jobs, but, I mean, come on. Santa, thank you for the Super Chat. Been a listener since 2009. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. The Chosen One says, the great Vince McMahon is going to save us all. Cheeseburger, 666, thank you for the $10. I don't care what anyone says. Unionize pro wrestling. I stand with David Starr. I canceled my WWE network to give to you the gift of $10. Well, I thank you for that. Hey, look, I it would be a miracle, I think, to see these wrestlers come together and unionize. There's a reason why it hasn't happened, because you can't get them all together. I agree. If ever there was a time for it, right, you would think it would be now, but it ain't going to happen. It just is not going to happen. Christian, thank you for the $5. Says, I think people are really getting on Seth's ass a bit too much for his comments earlier. What do you think? Yeah, I have to go back and read them all. I saw that Seth Rollins chimed, which is always a dangerous thing. You read that headline, Seth Rollins chimes in. But Seth Rollins, I guess, was on Instagram Live. He was talking briefly. And basically, he was kind of defending WWE and saying, this is not the time. It's not WWE's fault. They didn't want this to happen. Let's focus on the guys who lost their job, which is true. I mean, that's really the story here. It's the people who lost their jobs. But what else do you expect Seth Rollins to say? He works for WWE. Do you think he's going to come out and say, fuck this company? I mean, come on. I can't blame him for his comments. And I'm sure he has a lot of friends who unfortunately are no longer working there now. So I can't dump on the guy. Jason Nibs, yet again with a $100 bomb during the stream. I thought I saw your name a little bit earlier. Jason, thank you very much. You're a crazy guy. You are a crazy SOB. And I feel bad because there was, like I said earlier, there's a new super chat. It's going to be the new $30 and above super chat, which would include 100, that I was going to debut tonight. And I'm holding it off for next week. So feel free to come on back. Feel free to come on back next week. But Jason, seriously, thank you, man. That means a lot. I very much appreciate that. Connor with the $2. Matt Hendricks. My goodness, there's so many here. Gallows and Anderson surprised him. He said, Brian Anthony Rivers, thank you for the $5. Vince Lowkey having his best week, screwing people over and might screw us over if the news about him having a say in opening places back up. Yeah, if there's one person I want Vince McMahon to be the one who is lending his advice and his feedback to when and how the country should be reopened. It's like saying that you would vote for Vince McMahon to be president. How many of you in the chat would vote for President McMahon? Not me. Have you seen some of the storylines that he's greenlit over the years? Can you imagine who Vince would put in his cabinet? Oh my God, Michael Hayes wearing you know, his fanny pack as the Secretary of State. Let's see, who else? The Secretary of Defense, Sergeant Slaughter, right? His press secretary. Who would his press secretary be? Stephanie? Oh my God. Ugh. Ugh. I can't even imagine. Let's take some calls. I cannot even imagine this. I'm getting agita just thinking about it. Let's go to 732. Hello? That's me. Oh, hold on. Hey, hold on a second. Okay. I just realized you were muted the whole time. That's my fault. You were muted. Muted the whole time. So anyway, let me just recap what he was. I'm such a fucking idiot because when I muted it to,
you're all good.
I muted
my one moment to shine, you know?
Yeah, I know, you know, and I fucking ruined it for you now. Anyway, this is Mike.
You killed my push. You're like Vince.
I did kill your push. I'm trying to bury you and now you're fighting back and I appreciate that. So this is Mike from New Jersey and he made the point about the main event on Dynamite tonight. Again, kind of that, what I felt like it was missing something. And it just, the overhype, I thought, didn't do it any favors. I just thought that there was something missing and Jim Ross by himself on commentary. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah. I know. I was expecting them to use like more elements of like the whole MMA sort of thing, like take them down to the ground, like make it like a lot more physical or something like that. Because if we can't get the emotion of the crowd and stuff like that, maybe you could appeal to the audience, like, of like, oh, this is like kind of grotesque sort of thing, and it never took me there, you know.
Yeah. But what, I mean, any other thoughts on the rest of the show other than the main event?
I appreciate that they're doing as much as they can with what the hand they're played. Obviously, the Inner Circle stuff I always find enjoying, just because I'm a huge Jericho mark. So it's like, how could you not find him hysterical, especially with the whole toilet paper gag and all that stuff?
Yeah. I agree.
Well, yeah, but other than that, I'm just looking forward to the revival coming in, hopefully, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. The timing is not ideal for them. I mean, I guess they couldn't have predicted that this would happen, but I can't imagine them landing anywhere else. It's just a matter of when.
I just really pray that they hold them out and they just wait for the right opportunity in front of the right crowd. I know it could be forever, and obviously those guys are going to like weigh their options and all that stuff, but I just hope it's in front of a live crowd.
Yeah, I would agree. Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, I'm not gonna take too much of your time. I just want to thank you personally because I've been listening to the show since like 2013. So it's been a long time coming. So it's fun to get a chat with you.
That's awesome. No, that's a long time.
Thank you so much, and thank you for killing my push too. You know, the audience was just starting to get over on me.
Well, you know, you're a fan of wrestling for so many years, it just sort of rubs off on you. You know.
Yeah. Okay, have a great day.
You
or
too.
Night, actually.
You too. Man, I buried that guy. I feel bad now because I muted it, so when I logged in, you guys wouldn't hear all the prompts and everything, and then my dumbass forgot to unmute it. So that's a Botchamania moment right there. That is a Botchamania moment. I apologize to him. Let's run through a few more of these super chats here from a little while ago. Dino, so great, 5,000. Thank you for the $5. I thought Deonna Purrazzo had a Series of really poor performances when I saw her, but still feel for those that did not initially ask for a release. I don't know. I mean, you know, I've seen Deonna Purrazzo have some very good matches, so I know the potential is there. So I think she deserves a shot, whether it be in AEW or somewhere else, and I'd like to see her get that opportunity. Randy Bobandi, thank you for the $15. He says, I'm a butcher. Now, are you a butcher? Or are you the butcher? That he didn't specify. He says, I'm a butcher at a grocery store, so I know my job is safe, but prayers to the people who lost their jobs. Brian Becerra, thank you for the $10. Balls of Steel Chicken with the Super Chat. Chris Jericho got Suge Knight. Suge D, he says, over by accident on commentary. Yeah, Jericho can get anything over. He got a plant over. He got a scarf over. He got the word it over. I was going to say he got a drone over, but the drone was already over. Santa, thank you. Says, Orange Cassidy looks a bit like Solo Monster. I don't see it. I don't see the resemblance. Ian Israel, thank you. Rollins can kiss my grits, he says. And Food Hive with the $2 Super Chat. Solo Monster tattoo coming soon. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Let's go to 843. You're on the line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time caller. I've only been listening to you for about 6 months. I hope you're doing well up there in New York.
Doing well.
Basically, I wanted to call. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Yeah, basically, I just wanted to call and, you know, about the releases today. It's a terrible thing. But my hope is one of them goes to AEW and becomes the next Austin. Now, obviously, it's probably 1% chance at best of happening, but that's my hope. This becomes their Stone Cold moment, and it changes the industry. My best guess is it would be EC3, but that's what I'm hoping for.
I think a lot of people in wrestling have been waiting for the next Austin to come along for probably about almost 20 years now, and I think that it's not going to. I think it's not going to happen. I think Austin was a once in a generation performer. And I would say,
right. Well, it's been about 20 years now, not to cut you off. It's been about that 20-25 year mark. So it's about time for the next one.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Almost impossible.
It's like those giant, it's like having a really famous wrestling dad. And then you try to get into the business. Like Charlotte has been able to do it because she's very talented and she's been pushed hard and she's a big star, but there's a lot of people who can never fill those shoes. And I feel like whenever somebody says, like they said that about Dean Ambrose when he was in WWE, oh, he's the next Austin. And I was like, you know what? Let's not handicap the guy. He can be the first Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
He's got Austin qualities, but he will never be Stone Cold. Those are tough shoes to fill.
Yeah, part of what made Austin so great, it was the Austin Vince storyline. And Vince was basically playing himself on television, looking back at that character. That's why it was such great television. I really don't think Vince was acting.
No.
I mean, he was acting, but he wasn't
right.
When you know the real person.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I agree.
But anyway, I don't want to take up it. I know you got other people on the line, and thank you for your time, my friend, and hope you're doing well.
Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Call in again soon. Let's move on over to Sue. Let's go to 740. You're on the air.
Hey, what's happening, Solid Monster?
What's going on?
Not much, man. The releases, man, that is just crazy stuff right now. 22 wrestlers. I heard something about Rhea Ripley being... I don't know if she was released, but her social media, she changed her name and took all the WWE references out, so who knows? But it's just crazy to think. What's that?
Well, I didn't hear that. Let me, as you're talking, you can talk. I'm going to bring up her Twitter and see if that is still the case. And by the way, I can hear myself. See if you can lower that in the background. I'm going to bring up her Twitter and take a look at this here.
It's just crazy to think. Okay, I was just going to say, do you think with the Revival and Drake Maverick being the only SmackDown names released, do you see more releases coming this week? Maybe, I mean, maybe it's someone like a Chad Gable or Lucha House Party. Like, I don't want to see anyone lose their jobs. You know, they have the B team on SmackDown. But I just think it's inevitable we're going to get some SmackDown releases, too. And it's awful to say that. Really, it is. But what's your opinion on that? And also, I found the main event to be very disappointing.
Yeah, I thought the main event tonight was it was good, but it was underwhelming. It definitely was not what I was expecting. I was expecting more out of it. The Rhea Ripley thing, I'm looking at her Twitter now. I don't know what references she had in her bio before. I think people put too much stock into what's in a person's bio. I have heard nothing. They certainly are not going to release Rhea Ripley. I've heard nothing about her being gone. I would be shocked if that was the case. It's possible, you know, we heard those rumors about visa issues, which turned out to not be the case, that she was kind of flying back to Australia. That does not mean that there aren't visa issues involving Rhea Ripley, but her leaving or being cut from WWE, no way. I can't see that. And I forgot his other question. I was going to answer his other question, and I just forgot. Somebody in the chat will fill me in as to what the first question was, and I'll answer it. But yeah, I would be stunned, absolutely stunned, if there was any sort of news regarding Rhea Ripley that was anything even remotely close to what you had just suggested. I just can't imagine a scenario where they would get rid of her. Yukio Rules, thank you for the $50 super chat. Holy shit. It says, thanks for the podcast and these live reviews, and stay safe out there, dude. You too, man. You guys gotta stay safe, stay indoors, listen to podcasts, listen to live streams. Let's see here in the chat. It says, lower the volume, please. Oh, he's talking about the other caller. Yeah, I don't know what he was listening to in the background. That was driving me nuts. Let's go to area code 240.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Solid Monster. My name is Jason also. About all the releases, I did not see any of them coming. It pretty much came out like the floodgates. Rusev, I knew that was coming. He pretty much wasn't doing anything. Primo and Epico, I didn't know they were still there. I thought they were already gone, but I was talking to some friends of mine earlier, and when I saw the releases, I told him, you know, this ain't it. There's going to be more coming. But the main one that really got me was...
I just remember what the
Hello?
Guy... Yeah, go ahead. I just remember what the other guy said, but go ahead.
The main one that got me was Drake Maverick.
Yeah, that was, well, you saw the video,
that
I
was,
assume, right?
Yeah, I saw the video, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, again, he's not a guy who is on television every week. He's not a guy who is in a featured program, but I thought he was a very entertaining, solid hand for them who, you know, deserved a better fate. And hopefully he'll land on his feet and he'll do well, because I think he would be an asset, you know, wherever he ends up. But you watch a video like that, guy's got tears in his eyes. You could see how just emotionally devastated he is, and you just want to give him a hug. I mean, that's the only reaction that you have when you watch a video like that.
Because I've been watching, I didn't really know too much about Drake Maverick, but I only knew him as Rockstar Spud back in his time in, you know, TNA, you know, when he started from the British boot camp.
Sure, yeah, that's where he got his big break, is on that show. And then I think he was the chief of staff, I think, for Dixie Carter was his official role. And he was very entertaining. And I loved the segments and the skits with him and EC3. EC3 would, you know, treat him like shit. And then eventually they had a big feud. And I just couldn't understand. Take that chemistry that they have. Make it your own. So TNA did it. Who cares? Like, put them together on TV. It would have been very entertaining. And they just dropped the ball. And they never did it. And I just... Oh, it drives me nuts. Sometimes these things drive me nuts. Even, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. And for the main event match, it was, to me, it was so-so, but I'm not so much holding it against Tony Khan for the simple fact of you can only do but so much when you don't have an audience. And like you said, you know, set your expectations low so you won't, I guess, shoot yourself in the foot. You know, you say, oh, yeah, that guy, we're going to have the best match ever. Then you come out and you just you shoot a dud. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, that's what everybody's going to, you know, doing the empty arena stuff and everything. It's the ratings and everything is not going to be as it was before when everybody had an audience because nobody's not going to watch.
Yeah, I mean, look, wrestling, and I'm going to let you go, but wrestling is meant to be in front of an audience. I've said this time and time again. I understand that there's nothing they can do about it. This is not a situation they ever wanted to be in. But we're seeing it every single week that goes by is how difficult it is to really, you know, pump up the enthusiasm on the shows, which is why I think I appreciate someone like Jericho, who at least is out there screaming and trying to kind of joke around and be entertaining, but then he could also be serious. Like, I really am impressed with how he's done so far in just the first 2 weeks on commentary. But to go back to what the other caller had mentioned on the previous call, he had asked about Chad Gable and, you know, possibly other names that could be on the chopping block. I hope not. I'm not going to will it into existence by starting to rattle off names. Could I see something like that? I could, and that kind of worries me. And if they were to cut somebody like him, he's kind of another one where it's like, on the one hand, it would almost be like, good, I want him to go somewhere else and succeed and thrive and just do well. Because we've seen flashes of great stuff from him on the main roster. I saw it in the King of the Ring tournament. You know, he would go out there every week, sometimes to crickets. And by the end of the match, he had people on their feet, clapping, cheering for him, chanting his name. I thought he and Corbin, you know, the stuff they did together was really good. Corbin won. And then after that, it's been all downhill. And the Shorty G shit. And to me, that is the most egregious thing of all. It's one thing to have a guy, you don't know how to use him, you try, and it's like, you know, he's not getting over. When you give somebody the name Shorty G, and you dress him up like a fucking Harlem Globetrotter, and he comes out there looking like something out of like some comedy movie, you are just, you may as well take a nightstick and take his knees out from underneath him. Chad Gable does not need to be dressed up like a Harlem Globetrotter. Chad Gable does not need some kind of catchy, stupid name. He's Chad fucking Gable. He can go out there and he can get the crowd in the palm of his hand with the right opponent. You tell the right story. He's the underdog. He's undersized. There are a lot of undersized guys who have gotten over in WWE. I don't need to rattle off all their names. Daniel Bryan is one of the biggest examples, but he's not the only one. And the fact that these people, I can't even say they don't know what to do with him. They choose not to do anything with him. Mustafa Ali, where's he been? You know, maybe he's the guy behind the glitches on SmackDown. We'll see. I would imagine it's him, but we'll see how that plays out. But Chad Gable has always been, you know, it gets me really upset because I know that this guy could be an asset on TV. I've seen it. And they choose not to do anything with him because he's too small or they think he's too vanilla. He's Shorty G. Fuck off. You know what? He'd be better off going somewhere else, but I don't want to see him lose his job. So let's see what happens. We got tomorrow. We got Friday. I'm a little worried, but I don't know. Let's see what happens. I would not be surprised to find out that there are more names. Food Hive, thank you for the $5. What happens to wrestling if live events and concerts aren't allowed until fall 2021? You know, there's been a lot of models. There's a lot of experts who have different predictions on when things are going to come back. Here's the thing. We've not seen this virus before. Nobody knows. So this is all educated guesses and speculation. All the models are different. Some say the fall of next year. Some say the beginning of next year. Some say there's a chance some of that could come back later this year. But I do think that it's going to be a long time. I think it's going to be a long time yet before we see these mass gatherings. I think concerts and sports events are going to be the last thing to come back. So I think slowly people will go back to work. Things will begin to come back. I think the big arena shows and the big stadium shows, that they're going to be dead last. You know, when they come back, those are going to be the last things to come back, which is why I say, you know, don't be so sure about WrestleMania next year. Not being back at the PC. Very possible that that could happen. But anybody who tells you they know is lying to you, because nobody knows. Balls of Steel Chicken says, Private Party and Leo Rush faction equals pure gold. Yeah, that could work. I could see that. Leo Rush and Private Party. Nothing worse than dry chicken. I guess competing with Balls of Steel Chicken with the Super Chat. Just waking up to this news in the UK. Says he's happy for the ones that were let go. I can only imagine that means because they're going to get more chances. I don't know why you would be happy about that. Says, wishing you good health. So happy Adam Cole did not get transferred to Monday Night Raw. And Spencer Huffman, thank you for the $10. Could you see EC3 join MJF and Wardlow in a faction in AEW? It'd be like having two MJFs. I don't know. I mean, it'd be like me and Orange Cassidy being in a faction together. I don't know. It'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? You already have one. Why do you need the other? Just seems unnecessary to me. Let's go to 631. You're on the air.
Jason, the Sour Monster. What's going on, brother?
Well, who am I talking to?
What's going on, man? My name is George. I've actually met you plenty of times at the KBH, down in Orlando at Mania, HOG shows. I've run into you a bunch of times.
Yeah, you've been to all the events.
I've been to quite a few events, without a doubt. I'm actually driving home from work right now, so I haven't been able to watch anything. This whole being essential thing absolutely sucks, but you know what? There's more people that are more essential than I am. So forgive me for not knowing exactly what happened tonight on the show or that I have any question, but I figured I'd throw on the show and listen on my way home and I guess just hear about everything that went down today. You know, I see everybody getting released and all that stuff going on. But I guess if I could think of one question, and again, forgive me because you might have already covered it throughout, you know, tonight. Now that WWE is considered essential, do you think AEW is going to continue to roll their footage that they've been doing? Or do you think they scratch everything they've recorded and actually just do it live going forward?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to scratch what they've already taped. I think they're just going to air what, you know, the next 3-4 weeks, however many weeks of footage that they've taped. Technically, if they wanted to run in Florida, I mean, I read the proclamation or whatever you call it, they would fall under the umbrella of entertainment. Now you have all these sports franchises and boxing. They're all thinking about coming to Florida now because Florida has sort of opened the floodgates now for everybody to do shows there. So If Tony Khan wanted to, after the tapings are over, they could probably go back to, you know, Daly's place and do live shows. I would think he's looking at the reaction to Vince McMahon and WWE doing that, the negative, overwhelmingly negative reaction. And I'm not so sure AEW wants that kind of heat. So I my guess, what ends up happening, when these tapings are over, they may go back to Florida, but it would be to tape more television. So that way they don't have talent traveling in every week, which I think is just an unnecessary risk. Look, these are empty arena shows. What are they worried about? Spoilers? Spoilers aren't going to leak. So, you know, again, unless there's some kind of provision in their TV contract that says you must be live, you know, every single week, maybe you can get away with doing one live match. Maybe you can have live segments of some other kind. I would guess they're going to continue to tape TV.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I get it. I just figured, like I said, I would call you and, you know, I had nothing else to say considering I haven't, you know, I missed tonight's show. But listen, keep doing what you're doing, man. It's a pleasure listening to you on Wednesday night and on Sundays. It definitely helps me get by driving to and from work. So you keep up the good work. Stay safe. And one last thing, I appreciate when you tell Ray how overrated Charlotte's moves is. So keep doing that too, okay?
I will continue to do so.
All right, you take care, bud.
All right, you too. Well, it's mainly the moonsault. That's really the one thing I criticize. She has a shitty moonsault. I mean, that's just a fact. I'm not talking about the corkscrew thing. The corkscrew thing out of the ring looks cool. But she can't stick the moonsault. She's too big. She's got that gymnastic background. She always lands on her feet. Just looks terrible. She needs to stop doing the moonsault. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to 978. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Soul Monster? How's it going?
Good. How are you doing here now that it's Thursday morning?
Yeah, I'm all right. I watched the show tonight. I thought Jericho and Tony were great. They made the show what it was. The Hager-Moxley match I thought was okay for what it was, but it was violent and brutal, and it went on a little too long, but
was
I
it,
think
though?
It was solid.
Was it violent and brutal, though?
I mean, they looked like they were just exhausted, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The stuff that they were doing, it's not anything I haven't seen in any even like non-no-holds-barred match. I mean, it was just... I mean, I wasn't expecting blood and guts necessarily, but I don't know. I didn't look at it as being overly violent.
No, I feel like it was a little too hyped up, but I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah.
I thought the show overall was pretty solid. Britt Baker was pretty good. I thought Penelope actually got over more than I thought that match would, because a lot of people on Twitter were talking about Penelope after that match.
Yeah, she's great, and she, I don't think she gets enough credit. She's very good. She's very athletic. I've seen her do that spot before, the big Rana off the top. It's kind of like Zelina Vega.
Yeah,
I mean, every now and then we'll see Zelina Vega bust out a move like that in her matches. But Penelope is really good, and I think that she's got a lot of, not just as a valet, I think she's got a lot of potential in the ring as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see more of her.
I would too.
Just showing off, you know.
Yeah.
I think she could do great.
I mean, come on.
I've fair enough. I had some questions about the way you do your show, but I would like to email you about those. I was wondering how I go about doing that.
Sure. Yeah. Just shoot me an email. You have the email address, and I will check it out.
All right. I appreciate that. But, I love the work you do. Solid shows. And I like the before the review, moments that you did with, all the people that got released. I think that was a terrible thing that happened to those guys today. And I think that more people on the internet need to be a little more considerate about people losing their jobs, even though they may not think that way, you know?
Yeah, I think they sometimes, it's easy for them to forget that they, you know, they're human beings. So when you say, so-and-so, well, they weren't using them anyway, so who cares and stuff like that. You know, at the end of the day, they're still losing their jobs. So you got to be, you know, sensitive to that. I said about Primo and Epico that I legitimately did not know they were still employed by the company. But I mean, outside of those two.
I
thought that they had left a while back. Yeah, everybody else, like Eric Young and people like that, that even guys who maybe I'm not a big fan of, I think it still sucks, you know, that they woke up this morning employed and now they're not.
Yeah, I'm in the military, so I'm an essential worker. But I feel my wife's an essential worker as well, but I have a lot of family and friends that aren't, so I feel with them, you know.
Yeah.
And so, especially the Drake Maverick video kind of got to me today a little bit, and I was like, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the work you do, and keep it up, man.
Thank you for the call, man. And again, shoot me that email, and I will do my best to get back to you. Let me just check and see. I think we had another couple more chats come in. Michael Cuomo, Malicious Intent, Michael Cuomo. Thank you. What was the first WWF VHS that you received or bought? I can tell you exactly what it is, and I still have it. Actually, if people want to see it when I'm done here, maybe I'll take a picture. I'll tweet it out. It was one of the Hulkamania videos. I want to say it had a blue cover. had a blue cover. It had Hogan posing with the, I guess, his 86 belt. Hulkamania, I don't remember. I don't remember which number, but anyway, that would be the one. I still have it, and I have all of the first four WrestleManias in their original Coliseum video packaging, including WrestleMania 4. When you open it up, there's a pop-up of Hulk Hogan's big bald head. So I still have those in a cabinet downstairs. Miroa, 12004, the $5 super chat, AEW main event. Would have been fine with fans, but you can't go more than 10 minutes in an empty arena, in my opinion. Well, don't say that to Edge about his match with Randy Orton, because he'll get very upset. And he'll tell you that you're just being negative for the sake of being negative. You're just a malcontent. So don't say that. Dry chicken without flavor with the $5. Dynamite booking is like eating a nice piece of chicken with flavor. Wednesday nights. Well, hey, you know, who doesn't like chicken? Who doesn't like... Let's take one more call, and then we can wrap up here. Where do I want to go? What state would I like to go to? I don't know what state it is, but let's go to 401. Is this Rhode Island?
Hey, Jason. Yeah, Rhode Island.
Hey, Rhode Island. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? My name's Steven. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, so, you know, with all this time on my hands now, I've been watching a lot of wrestling on the network. You know, we all know you love 92, and I was just wondering, since the turn of the new millennium, what's your personal favorite year for WWE?
My personal favorite year for WWE, it would probably be either 97 or 2000. I think it would probably, I mean, I like 92, but overall year, what I think was probably the strongest year, like looking back, probably 97 or 2000.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Cool. Anything else?
My question actually was, since the turn of the new millennium, so since 2000 and up, would you still go with 2000?
Since 2000, yeah, probably. I mean, there really is no single year since then that stands out. I mean, 2001 was obviously a strong year, and then things sort of began to drop off a little bit. I thought SmackDown in late 02, 2003 was on fire. So I, you know, maybe I'd go for that, but
definitely.
Yeah, I mean, 2000 still stands It still stands the test of time to me.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, no, thanks for taking the question, man. I appreciate it. I've been a fan since about 2015.
Awesome.
First time getting to talk to you, so thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Calling again. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because a lot of those years, like 07, 08, 09, they all blend together for me. They all blend together. This past decade... Not a good decade. Not a good decade. I'd probably still go 2000 if you force me to make a choice. Cuba the Goat with the $1.99. Hopefully Edge doesn't think I'm a malcontent. Oh, you bet your ass he does. Unless you liked his match. If you liked his match, then you're good. You're golden. If you thought the match was too long, if you were a little bored by the match, you're just a negative ninny. You're a malcontent. What was the name of the faction the phrase he used? Minuscule. What the fuck did he say? I said it could be like a heel faction. We could all join together. We could all be part of the faction of malcontents. I could have T-shirts made if I thought people would buy them, which they never do. T-shirts are not a big seller. They really are not. I'm sorry to say, but anyway. This is a good place to end. Thank you, everybody, who super chatted all throughout the night. I'll plug that new one in for next week. You'll see what I mean when I debut it. It's a good example of how nuts I'm going here in quarantine. But anyway, I'll save that for next week. And thank you, everybody, who donated. I appreciate all of you for it. Let's take one last flash of the polls. AEW, 73 up, almost 27 down. And NXT nipping at its heels, 61 up and 38 down. So AEW is winning so far. Oh, we got one last super chat snuck in here. Walter Kobylak with $2. Buy or sell the revival in AEW or NWA? Oh, I've said this before. I think the revival need to make a pit stop in AEW or NWA. Just to get them in that studio. NWA power. Have a couple of matches en route to the inevitable, which is AEW. Only problem is NWA is shut down until June. So unless they're willing to just sit around, wait for the NWA to open back up, I don't know if that's going to be possible. But ultimately, Revival and AEW, I mean, that's the fit. Revival, Young Bucks, get to do their program together, get to have a couple of big matches together. It's too bad they may not be able to do it in front of an audience. That's the big drawback, but what the hell are you going to do? You know, are you going to sit at home for a year? Debut them next year? There's not a whole lot they can do, unfortunately. Their hands are kind of tied here. So, anyway, those are the poll results. I want to say thank you again to everybody who joined me tonight. I will be pushing the audio out to the feed tomorrow. I might split them off. I might have one for the WWE stuff, one for the AEW stuff. We'll see. And then join me on Sunday, episode 648. I'm going to be getting into all this stuff and more. There's going to be more news breaking in the next few days. All the stuff on them being essential and all this other nonsense. I'm going to get into that as well. Dark Side of the Ring, Jimmy Snuka. Got a lot to say about that too. So you'll want to join me on Sunday for episode 648 of the podcast. I'm out of here. Thank you again for all your support. And I will see you back here for more live Dynamite recaps next Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys, and stay safe.